This is definitely a topic I'm sure FBA Trey wanted to speak on. We are starting off with the hot topic that is Dr. Umar Johnson, and he was up on the Breakfast Club this morning. Trey, what was your first thoughts when you got to really get to indulge in what Mr. Johnson, Dr. Johnson was talking about?
When it comes to Umar, though, I knew he was going to, always, come with that real truth. And in this particular interview, he started out, of course, the first thing they ask about is the school, which is, that's the number one thing that his detractors use to try to, discredit him and his message that he puts out there. Well, when are you going to build the school? Like, that's the first thing you'll see in the comments.
Yeah.
In my opinion, I think that 90% of Umar's detractors are disgruntled swirlers. I think that, he's offended somebody, who has a white girlfriend or vice versa. And I think that they constitute 90% of his haters. But, other than that, they came out the gate, talking about the progress with the school, which, I mean, and I like the fact that they acknowledged that while the funding ain't what we thought it would be, he's still doing what he needs to do. He's still putting in work, getting it done bit by bit. And that's noted. It's logged. Nobody's questioning it. So, it's just a matter of, funding and, getting the bit by bits done. And, we see that, he got the HVAC done, which is what, was the thing that was the problem last time. But he finally got that done. And, so he's moving along. So that's what I like to hear. I would like to hear more, that a celebrity actually donated to help him. That would really excite me, instead of everybody just sitting there watching the man struggle. And y'all got billions of dollars collectively. He needs, 5 to 10 million? To build the school. I mean, it's just like, his points made about these celebrities were just spot on. But he touched the whole array of topics from the Nia Long infidelity situation. Who was the other infidelity that just came out with TJ Holmes.
Yeah.
Yeah, he touched on that. He brought it back to the core racial and social principles of America when he talks about how, you as a black man, you are not truthfully going to get a top of the line white woman who comes from wealth and money.
Yeah.
You're going to get a second rate white woman who's either broke or she's, on the fringes of white society, and she gets up on you and she uses you as a come up. He mentioned Tiger Woods in that situation too, if you remember his, whole ordeal. But Umar, race mix. That's the one thing he's really gonna hammer down on in this.
Even caught him even on Charlamagne's late night show too.
He's been on there?
Yeah, he was on there last night.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, go watch that too. That was hilarious, actually, because he got it's not just him and Envy and Umar. He got three other panelists, and he usually got other comedians up there. So,
oh, that's kind of no shit.
Yeah,
I don't know something about Comedy Central. I don't watch a lot of shit on Comedy Central just because.
I'm saying you don't want to say as soon as you anybody see Dr. Umar Johnson that the viewership go up. I'm pretty sure you're going to watch at least for that episode. You know what's funny too, that Tariq, they contradict in the how we're going about getting our reparations, because I didn't fully disagree with what Umar was saying. He was talking about putting a tax to certain things in which we've already enveloped and developed here in the country. And I see that as a great point. But Tariq is all about the dollar bill here. And it seems like Umar wants to incorporate other facets as well. Are you about multifaceted reparations or just the cash payments? And maybe the taxes too.
I didn't get that from Umar in the interview. He said that the problem that people keep talking about getting paid for the labor by not talking about getting paid for the mental the mental fuckery that ensued throughout these last 400 years, you know, just everything from the buck breaking to slavery. I mean, everything, you know, Jim Crow, lynchings, the shit we got going on today with hip hop and that shit being controlled with gangster rap. He mentioned all that, but he's saying that, you know, we talk about being reparated, it shouldn't just be, you know, based on slave labor, wage labor hours. It should be based on a whole trophy things, including that psychological fuckery that ensued as a result of, you know, 400 years of systemic white supremacy. So, you know, I think that, you know, for example, in that $200,000 little amount they waving out there in California, that's good for California. That's great. Right. That's great for California. Perfect. But that's on the state level.
Right.
That's on the state level. It's like we got state taxes for the most part. We got federal taxes. You know, from a state situation, you know, that would be good. Plus land allotments, you know, that would do it for me, you know, as far as the state's concerned.
Yeah.
Perhaps, you know, set aside some, you know, land in the state, you know, for black people to, you know, set up towns and whatnot, you know, that would do it for me. But yeah, I didn't really get any true discrepancy between him and Tariq. It was just, you know, Umar just brought up another aspect that people shouldn't.
Well, it's not really my perspective. It was really what Tariq kind of was, you know, he was expounding upon when he was making his message on his YouTube earlier. He was like, you know, people trying to incorporate. He was being indirect about what it was, but we knew exactly what he was talking about. You know, he was talking about how this should be centered around cash payments. We can buy, he said, we can buy land later. We could do these other psychological benefits and other things like that that are abstract things later. So it was, you know, we knew exactly what he was talking about without him actually, you know, saying it. But that's because I had seen it, though, too. And maybe you didn't catch that one. That was a little bit earlier today.
I heard a little bit of his podcast earlier.
But, yeah.
I mean, you know, typically Tariq's message is pretty, you know, straightforward. You know, you can pretty much, you know, it's pretty consistent. So, you know, I pretty much know.
Yeah.
You know, it feels about, you know, the reparations thing for the most part. So, but yeah, Umar, you know, he doesn't have like a weekly podcast or anything like that. So,
well, he's been putting out those 50,000 lashings to people on that TikTok, though.
Those what?
You seen them lashings he been giving people?
Yeah.
Based on your coonery, you get so many thousand lashes.
Yeah, it's just hilarious. Yeah, can't.
And going to the next topic, Louis has something to say.
Yeah, I vaguely remember a few years back, what's his name, Umar, being debunked because he was just in it for the money. So I'm a little bit confused as to why he's relevant, because he's saying some rah-rah shit now.
Nah, I mean, some people don't like Umar because they think it's a scam with the money and all that shit. I don't really believe that.
Okay, well, hold on. As a donor to him back in his old days, I'm pretty sure it's a scam.
Yeah, I mean, that's an
opinion. Also,
but I mean, like I said, I like his message, and I like a lot of what he says. It is relevant, and it resonates, you know, just due to the true factor alone.
So he's reciting facts that we've already confirmed and researched ourselves, so we can jive with that. The problem I have is how he's still anti-black. He's siphoning funds away from people who are actually putting in the work to restore black empowerment. So he is a problem, a very dangerous one, because his fandom is only going to grow and it'll become another cult, like, as I like to call them, the Nation of Islam. Everyone keeps saying Nation of Islam has the code. I'm like, yes, they do. But when you look at their actions, you don't see any protected status for black people from their actions. They're protecting themselves with our money. That's not good. Like Tariq, like I donated to Tariq in the 2020 uprisings. And before I even finished half my donations, he already used the money to bail out the kids who fought back against the police. And he uploaded those videos and the family members of those people uploaded their own videos. I was like, cool, my money went in and I got a pro-black action immediately. When I go look back at Umar, I'm like, okay, it's been a couple of years since I gave to that school project. Where's that school, or where's the purchase of the land or something? He's got nothing as far as I've heard. So I'm like, bro.
You gotta keep up with it, bro. He has the school, he has the land, he has the buildings, he has two schools actually. He's been meticulously working on it. If you remember what it looked like, bro, you ain't been keeping up, so you don't know what it looked like 2 and 3 years ago. It was a piece of shit. Abandoned school in Delaware, about an hour away from Philadelphia, full of black people. And, he's taking the property. He's, the thing about Umar Johnson that I just really don't like when it comes to people, talking about his image and whatnot is one thing about fake people, like, for example, Roland Martin or something like that, they can't go around other black people and not get their ass beat or called out. Every time you see Umar Johnson go live, he's on his school property. There's a bunch of volunteers around helping getting stuff together or whatnot. And he can't go anywhere in that neighborhood without somebody, what's up, Umar? Dr. Umar. So everybody in the vicinity is very aware of his daily efforts to get this thing popping off. It's just that every single month there's a, when he says stuff about black people swirling and shit, I think that offends a lot of people. And, I think that those are the main people who kind of fuel the whole Umar is a scammer and all that shit thing. I mean, if he didn't have a school, if he didn't have anything tangible to show, meaning a property or anything like that, after what, 7 years? Yeah. Yeah, I would be like, okay, that nigga's playing. But no, I mean, if you go into his little social media or whatever, he does live every day on his property, doing volunteer work, painting, HVAC, plumbing, roofing, landscaping.
Hold on. Okay, so is he showing black people in that community how to do that using his platform as well? Because that's more valuable than the school at this point.
I'm not sure at that, but like I said, I mean, he's constantly hosting community events over there. There was a video that just kind of went viral about a month or two ago where he had a couple of hundred people out there, just having a community get together, a plan of action on how to get the stuff together. And
Okay, hold on. Okay, now I got another question. What's the curriculum for this school project again?
Oh, he went over there in the interview. He did like a whole 5 minute segment on what he's going to be teaching and whatnot. This all pro black is going to be teaching people everything from how to garden. Matter of fact, he said in order for you to graduate from his school, you have to be able to grow a couple of crops. That's going to be one of the curriculums, or to even graduate, you have to show you're able to self-substantiate. Self-sustain yourself, So, that's just, But, he said all that in the interview.
Yeah, because that's what I was just saying earlier. If he just did a live stream of how to repair and restore a school building, he'd empower hundreds of thousands more of young black people right now who need to get into those fields right now to make that money right now.
No, he's a broke man. I mean, just being honest, he's not.
No. Hold on. He doesn't need money to do this. That's what's like fucking my vibe right now. He has the community of hundreds of people around him. Somebody in there knows a craftsman for HVAC. Somebody knows a plumber.
Yes,
somebody can show people on film.
Yeah,
how to do this as black
people. He spoke on that. Yeah, but he spoke on that though. He said that one of the problems, and envy attested to it, is. And his efforts to do everything pro-black and do all of his business with black contractors, he's been fucked. Some of these contractors have been fucked him over, stolen money, have done projects, not done projects. And, he said that, unfortunately, he's had to go to non-black people to get some of the shit done. And, and those were his last-ditch efforts to get the shit done. And in doing that, he's been able to get the shit done. But, you know, that's been one of the main drawbacks. You know, a lot of people have been.
I believe him. I believe on that point specifically. Yes, because I try to recruit people for the trades at Walmart, at Dollar General, every place I see a black person in retail. Me and my brother literally stop what we're doing for that day and just like, yeah, let's double back and go get that motherfucker. Because when you go from $8 an hour minimum wage in these dumbass pro-capitalist states and you get into a trade union and you're starting off at fucking $16 and up, right, and you're just wasting your time all day sitting on the clock.
Right.
And nobody told any of these black kids. They just fucking dying right. In slow motion.
Right. Right. Yeah, that's but yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like I said, I got faith that Uvar, you know, I know a lot of people, you know, they for that but you know, I'm
so, still well, hold on. Oh, okay, well, I got another question. Okay. If he's struggling to get the resources he requires, who in the new black media has he reached out to organize this? Cuz Jason Black does a live podcast where black millionaires who own their own companies will call in and offer other people goods and services that they provide.
Yeah.
So I find it weird that after all these years, he hasn't reached out and done a public thing and just like, hey, I need some professionals who are black out here right now. No. I'm pretty sure they can get them for him.
Nah, Umar, if you don't know, bro, Umar started out on Hidden Colors. He was probably the most vibrant voice on the Hidden Color series. I think 1, 2, and maybe 3. But of course, you know, what ended up happening was the inevitable beef between him and Tariq Nasheed. They fell out. But before that beef, it was a beef between him and Boyce Watkins. Now, back in the mid to 2010s, Dr. Boyce Watkins was the number one quote unquote figure in the new black media. He was Boyce Watkins was on fire at that point. And he's from my hometown, too, by the way. Shout out.
Shout out.
Shout out, Lord. Yeah, but yeah, Dr. Boyce, him and Umar were real cool at first, you know, but Umar has a very strong personality. Ifa Tunde has a very strong personality. And
and it doesn't always work out between people. And I think even with Lucid, I think it even goes both ways as far as like a reach out. Jack, you had something to say really quick too?
No, I was just gonna, you know, like I was going to ask FBA Trey this, you know, with Umar, the very negative things he said about reparations, black Americans receiving reparations. How do you feel about that?
What do you say?
Maybe a couple weeks ago, a week and a half ago, he said that black Americans aren't ready for reparations. And you know, also today on an interview, he said that, you know, he was talking some pretty much anti-cash reparation rhetoric. And you know, with him, this isn't a diss to anybody that's an immigrant, whatnot, but with him being like, you know, Cuban, but having this much power, well feeling like he has that much power to speak on reparations, on black Americans receiving reparations, and also the type of rhetoric that he has towards indigenous black Americans, calling like disrespecting us and whatnot, you know, it puts out a kind of like a negative image about them. But I wanted to know, like, what's your opinion on that?
I have to hear the whole context as to how he put it as far as those, black Americans aren't ready. I think I heard it, like a snippet of it, but like I said, it's so many videos of that nigga, you know, I don't watch all the videos of him, but.
And it's kind of weird, too, that he was actually part of the first part of Hidden Colors, which was about Aboriginals. So, yeah. I mean, he was speaking in favor, wasn't he?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, Dr. Umar's very...
Well, hold on. I remember specifically why I red flagged him again earlier this week. He said black FBA people shouldn't get their cash reparations until they first get, like, therapy or something, because they're just going to be, like, mentally ill and blow all their money.
No, I'm about to. Buddy just texted me. He said 10 minutes. No, I'm about to tell him bring his ass in here now, because this is something that we actually had a debate about months ago. And I was actually on the unpopular end of the spectrum. I don't give a fuck. But so it was said that when we do get our money, should there be some type of financial literacy requirement before you receive your money? And me and Bodie said, hell the fuck yeah, there should be. As a strategist.
So wait, you said you and Bodie? Hold up, not you and Maroc?
This before I knew Maroc. This is before I knew Maroc. When they pay us this bread, that's it. That's it.
Okay, hold on. That's where we're losing you. Yeah, that is not it. FBA will have to get at least 2 to 3 different reparation packages. Like, so you got emancipation, then you have Jim Crow, then you have modern mass incarceration.
I'm not putting a cap on it. I'm saying once we get this collective check or whatever it's gonna be, that's it. That's it.
Yeah, I'm going to disagree, too. I disagree with Trey, actually, on this one. We actually agree a lot, but I'm going to say that, honestly, even if the lower straight-up Negroes decide they want to just splurge their money away, I say let them the fuck do it. You know why? Because It's just going to feed back into the American economy.
Hey, no, because y'all ain't about to double-team me. Hold on.
I'm not double.
Hey, I agree with Lucifer in Maroc. I completely agree. FBA Trey, you FBA, you know, but this is probably the first time, one of the few times I've disagreed with an FBA, man. Shit, I got a, hey, Lucifer on cold. I don't know what Lucifer doing. I don't know if he got a Black American girlfriend or wife or something.
Just an opinion, you know.
This man is on cold.
nah, but here's the reason. Because, look, we done, man, we had a fiery debate on this months ago, man. I'm going to tell you. Man, I'm about to get Bodie in this bitch. Hold on, because this is the one time me and Bodie.
FBA Trey, your new rule going forward. Wrap your head around this one. If you find yourself agreeing with Bodie, something has gone horribly awry.
Hey, don't Bodie, do Bodie like that.
He be lost sometimes, but
don't do Bodie like
that. No, hold on. Seriously, I literally thought of that rule like 20 minutes ago from the last space I was eavesdropping on. I started agreeing with Bodie. He's trying to defend FBA people from Scammy Sosa. And I was like, oh shit, this whole convo is fucked up from the floor up. So I was like, I got to get the fuck out of here before I lose my sanity. Let's start this shit.
Yeah, Bodie, man, he's an op. His op ass. But, yeah, man, he, and I'm going to just go ahead and start it before he gets in here, because he'll reiterate when he gets in here. You better not spend that motherfucking money on no damn George. That's selfish in the motherfucker to your kids, your grandkids, who are just as much deserving of that legacy from your great-grandparents as you are. It's up to you to make sure that ball stays rolling. You a selfish motherfucker if you think the ball stops with you. Oh, I'm going to just spend it here, bitch. You got motherfucking kids and grandkids coming, motherfucker. You right. Got your, hold on, that money, say your great-great-great-grandparents who were slaves got that money. Was it just meant for their motherfucking, for their immediate kids? No, it wasn't. No. That's legacy money. That's legacy money. You about to put that motherfucker into something that's going to flip.
I get it, but you just not going to save everybody.
The term is generational wealth. That's the financial literacy that Dr. Umar is claiming we need to get. Okay, we got it. Hand out the checks to the FBA descendants right now. Nobody's asking how the Anglo-Jewish spend their reparation checks from the Holocaust. Nobody's asking how the Japanese internment descendants spend their Holocaust checks. So where's this financial literacy when these people are incompetent with money? They're literally squandering casinos right now. Nobody's asking a damn thing.
Difference between us and them is they got industries. We don't. We're going to pump our money into what?
No. Those, I'm talking about the white Indians who are 1/64th Cherokee and Native or whatever. They're on the reservations on the nuclear polluted land, giving away their oil rights, and then they get the checks and got the access to casinos. They can build industries of casinos in the middle of fucking bumfuck nowhere, Nevada and Las Vegas, and then they immediately turn around, drink all the damn money, shoot up on heroin, you find them dead all over the fucking roads, all over the country. No one says a damn thing about their financial literacy. So I'm like, why would I agree with Dr. Umar when he doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about? It's like, he's using a double standard on us, and it's a white supremacy talking point. So I can't be on code for that. period. Yeah. Even as a Carib.
Yeah, we also. I was just gonna say we also have to realize what people when they talk reparations, they don't understand that when you get reparations, you get checks. Like, it's not just a one time payment. Everybody that gets reparations, they get constant deposits. Like, you know, the Jewish, the Japanese, the Native, us Native Americans, you know, we get money like every month, and then some. We, you know, with housing assistance, medical assistance, and land. So, you know, when Black Americans are getting the reparations, of course, you know, you may have some that may spend it on Jordans and clothes, or, you know, cars or whatnot, but I'm pretty sure that, you know, we're gonna have a lot of Black Americans that are going to invest in some industries and, you know, land, and also many different companies for ourselves. Like, you know, the Native Americans, like Cherokee, we have casinos all up in Oklahoma City and Tulsa, and you know, you got even like a lot of Native American tribes that have casinos all over the country. We're trying to get some in Missouri and Arkansas. We're currently building one in Texas. So, you know, we're going to build like more companies and industries to where we can even build our wealth even more and expound on that. So, yeah.
Absolutely. And all right.
It's absurd amounts of income.
So, the thing with this check is it's going to still be based on a accumulated sum. That being said, it's going to run out eventually. Eventually. Might not be overnight, but it'll run out eventually. How many generations are going to get that check?
Hold on. FBA trade. How much exact dollar amount are you thinking FBA people are owed right now?
No less than 20 trillion.
So I posted something on the last space with Bodhi because I had to help him. The East Indians, when they were invaded by the British for 100 years, the British kept detailed records of how much they stole from East India. And within one century of starving the Black East Indians, they stole about $45 trillion. So for 400 years of FBA slavery in America, you're looking well past 100 trillion. So I did the napkin mask post. I came up with $210 trillion. That's about $2 million per FBA survivor or descendant. $2 million each. And that does not include whatever else we're going to find out about since, like, the 2000s, which is another $16 trillion lost in anti-Black hiring policies just across the board, like Black migrants and FBA. They chose not to hire them after 9/11. And the American economy shrank by $16 trillion in losses. So the white supremacists fucked themselves out of $16 trillion just to make sure Black people didn't eat in the modern times. That's a whole different reparations package. That's number four. So there's way more money than one check. We're looking right now just for FBA people to get reparations. Just FBA alone. That's about 90% of all white wealth in America, period. It's like just all their money, all of it, all their inheritances, all their trust funds, all their health plans, all their the collector cars they have in those garages, the mansions on the beach, the forest nearby, the mountains, all of it.
I also believe that Black Americans should be, you know, once they get the reparations like everybody else, they should become a protected class as well. Protected class and also a sovereign nation.
Once you have protected class, you don't even need sovereign nation. You're a nation within a nation.
I mean, it's the same thing. I mean, yeah, but you know, you know what I was saying, yeah.
Well, once you get into the legal entanglement of sovereign nation, now they can invade you as a foreign nation once again and re-enslave you. So if you remain citizens in their own nation and they attack you, they've broken their own protected status, and now you have cause for genocide of the people who attacked you. So they really don't want to play that game. They're just going to have to not touch you anymore after they give you your checks and your land. Oh, by the way, my codification is based on the ancient Spartans of Greece. They were Black Africans, and they wrote out how to make all of these revolutions and the society and institutions after the revolutions so that they do not go back to black people being enslaved. That's why I'm so clear focused on red flags, because Lycurgus and King Suis already told us what the red flags are, from black people included. This whole thing about swirlers we're talking about, that's already been discussed by the Spartans. They had like 12 words for mixed race Spartan. So foreign children, half helot, all these terms that they made up. So like, hey, keep track of the swirlers. Why? They're a threat to the state. Okay, gotcha. He's like, okay, it's that simple.
Yeah, and speaking of swirlers, at least mentally, do we want to briefly touch on Van Jones or Van Jokes? As he was in the media today, and basically it came into contact with a bunch of his white friends at a ceremony or what have you. He went on to apologize for the black community and their silence over so-called Kanye West, Ye, and Kyrie Irving. How do we feel about Van Jones and his decision to speak for the black community?
I mean, Van Jones cried in front of TV like a whole bitch a few years ago because, wasn't it because Biden won? So he went on TV and cried like a whole bitch on TV, talking about he represents black men. Like, shut the fuck up, nigga. You don't never get to speak for us, nigga. You never get to speak for me doing that, bitch ass nigga. Nah, my bad, Marat.
No, you good. But no, they don't know it's explicit. But the thing is, also, he went on to, I guess, put out, like, notes to say that it was retracted, that he didn't actually say that out to the black media, but to the white media, he never went and changed it. And so there was a different tone and tune. And we come to find out that he did indeed say that he was speaking on behalf of us as a whole.
Okay, let's go back to those Spartans. You know what they call that dude? The person they named treason after was a Spartan. He married an Athenian princess by sneaking out of the country and sharing his black bloodline with enemies of the state. So his name was Prince Trazon, T-R-A-E-Z-O-N. It's pronounced in English, treason. So Van Jones just committed the Spartan crime of treason. That's what just happened to us in modern times. You cannot speak ill of your community that literally suckled you as a baby, taught you the ways of warfare and manhood, and gave you the greatest society on earth, blackness, right from the get-go, and turn around and say, oh, I apologize on behalf of them because they're weak. Whoa.
Yeah, Van Jones. Exactly. Yeah, Van Jones is, like you said, he's a disappointment, man. He's a disappointment to a black man.
I did not say disappointment. No. This is treason. Do you know what the penalty for treason is in Sparta? Yeah, they have two punishments for it.
Yep. I condone them. But yeah, he don't speak for us, bro. Like you said, he don't speak for us. The act that you called is treason. I agree. And the appropriate punishment, I think it's a standard punishment.
Yeah, there's only two paths for redemption for what they call dropping the shield, a.k.a. treason. The crime was bringing shame to blackness, is what Van Jones has just done, but it's a vague concept. Anything you do that damages the reputation of other black Spartans, period, anywhere on earth, that is treason. So the punishment was your mother pretty much spits on you, tells you to leave the country, you're exile, until the government calls you back. Till the government calls you back to die in battle, redeeming yourself somewhere on God knows what orders. Or you get the short rope. Two big goon black guys walk up on you while you're sleeping, drag you out of bed, and put a very short garrote wire around your neck and squeeze the fucking breath out of you because they have to. If you live, you'll use that breath to hurt more black people. And those are your two options. You can come back and die in our orders when we say to, or you can be killed right here, right now, because you're worthless to us. You're dangerous to us.
I want to say on a side note, I was watching something very interesting today about traitors and treason. In France during World War II, you know, France, it felt like a bitch when Germany pushed on them. And, you know, the government failed. They just kind of went on with how the Nazis wanted. But it was a group of French people called the Resistance who kept fighting the Nazis and shit. But anyway, one thing that they did towards the end of the war was a bunch of these French women were sleeping with these Nazis. So what they ended up doing was basically bringing all them women to town square, shaving their heads and throwing shit at them and shit like that, and made them walk through the streets and all that. But yeah, I mean, treason.
Hold on. They shot some of them too. I have a picture on my desktop collection.
Yeah, I'm about to say, I ain't getting to that, but yeah.
Yeah. Hey, you know what that's called, right? I call that Harriet Tubmaning.
But you know, but what that got me to thinking of is like, wow, when you have your own country, when you have your own land, your own sovereignty,
yeah,
you can enforce your code. See, imagine if we can do our shacks and shit like that. He already bald, but we can still throw shit at him. You feel me? I mean, just the fact that the greater community was able to come together to publicly shame these people who are so off code during a war at that. They lucky they weren't killed, but you know, it's like, you know, that's what I'm saying. I mean, it's just the lack of power we have over our people and culture that I just saw in that example, but that's all I wanted to say on that.
Okay, well hold on. I still hear a dangerous misinterpretation. We don't need the nation, the sovereignty, or the money. As like Herga said, all we need is the retra, the great law, aka the code. So when Kyrie Irving stood his ground against all those interviews for the last 3 weeks straight, and they thought he was going to buckle, and then the black Hebrew Israelites put on a... like they didn't march around the Barclay Center that the white media was hiding. Mm-hmm. But when he saw that, he stuck to his code. So he didn't do the whole flip flop apology at the end when they thought it was going to happen. They was like, oh, he's about to buck break him in public. That march around the fucking building, you might as well call that an attack on the city of Jericho, my dude. That is some biblical shit that went down right there. It's like nobody's touching that story at all except for New Black Media.
Bodie,
what's up?
So, remember a few months ago, man, when we had that debate with some of the other FDAs about should there be a financial literacy requirement for reparations? Remember?
I'd like to frame it as a requirement, but should reparations come with financial literacy? That is highly suggested, if not mandatory. Yes. Yeah. Definitely. Okay. We've had that debate before.
Right.
People don't like it when you say requirement. They don't like that word. But I think that part of the restoration is having people know how to handle their money, you know.
Yeah, okay, Bodie, got a quick question here. Using just logic, what were the requirements imposed upon the Japanese who got reparations, the white Native Americans, the $5 Indians, and even the Confederate, the daughters of the Confederacy, who also received our black tax dollars up until a couple of years ago as reparations for the Civil War?
Yes,
yeah, so financial literacy was imposed on them.
Well, I mean, Lucifer, you wouldn't qualify for this, right? But the restoration that we're talking about is that this would be a part of like a course people would take. It wouldn't be like, oh, we're holding this over your head or anything like that. Like people would just have access to this information. Now, there are people who'd be like, well, I'm educated. I actually work in finance and I'm a millionaire. Well, it's not for you. That's the thing. Like, this is really not for you. And so we can talk about people who already have that sort of knowledge, you know, finding a way to opt out of this kind of thing. We're not trying to tie it to people, but it is a good idea. that Black Americans have this type of education, if you're going to have large cash payments, which I personally support. And I want to know, I want to make sure that this wealth is going to be injected into future generations. Now, if people say, hey, well, why don't we just structure it in a way where this is a, you don't really see large cash payments, it happens over generations, then we can talk about like, okay, then maybe financial literacy is less important. But I think that a lot of people want to support large cash payments to individual African Americans, but don't want to help those African Americans make those best choices, right, with that wealth. And I personally do. And I also believe, FBA, Trey and I discussed this, right, that you can't have people on the streets and be like, I'm going to give you $200,000. Right. You're someone who's struggling with schizophrenia. You're someone who's struggling with alcohol addiction, gambling. We're not going to give people, right, who are drug addicted, large sums of money so they can use it to kill themselves. So reparations is about restoration. Right. It's about healing people and making sure that people have the opportunities that were robbed and stolen from their ancestors and stolen from them today. And so you can't just do that by throwing money at a problem. I don't view reparations as just cash payments. It's much more extensive than that. It's literally bringing Black Americans to where they should be on all levels, like not just financially, but also just like socioeconomically. Okay, you want to have well educated, successful Black Americans.
Yeah, you're over answering at this point. Hold on. Okay, so you said it wasn't mandatory. Is that written down in stone somewhere that I'm unaware of?
So I mean, I'm not writing any plan as of now. I mean, I've spoken to people on the California Reparations Task Force, whatnot. But yeah, any sort of reparations plan has to offer at the very bare minimum some sort of financial literacy courses for Black Americans. It would be really foolish not to.
No, I can agree on that 100%. But I would also like, for historical context, what was the financial education program that they put all those non-Black groups through when they got our Black tax dollars as well?
There's no sort of precedent for the amount of damage that America has done to Black Americans, right? I mean, the fact that
I don't think it matters. It's reparations, bro. Casinos and that land are huge.
Well, let me tell you why it matters. Because Japanese people, they were in internment camps for some years, okay? It was a bad experience. I understand that, right? But America got right to it and restoring them within a generation or two. America
I'm going to repeat what I said.
You asked me a question.
The Native American
America
casinos.
Never really did that for descendants of enslaved people. In fact, America doubled down and passed Black codes, right? And had a whole era of Jim Crow, right?
Yes, Bodie,
they
focus.
Experimented on Black
Bodie,
people and were sterilizing
Bodie, I need
Black
you to
women
focus.
Until
I need
the
you to focus. Okay.
So because, hold
huge,
up, because
they
we have different
land. They got casinos.
Because these are different. We're not, hold up. Because these are different experiences and traumas, right? There's going to be different remedies.
They're the same trauma, genocide.
No, the Japanese did not experience genocide in the United States.
I'm still talking about the $5 Indians with their hundreds of millions of dollars of casinos and vast tracts of federal land given to them, even though they have no genetic lineage.
So there are some Native American reservations that have casinos, and those tend to be the wealthier ones, right? But
okay,
Native Americans.
So what's the financial literacy program that we can copy and paste and expedite the fucking process, bro? Get
to
the point.
Am I allowed to speak? Because you keep on asking me questions, but it seems like you don't want the answer. So,
you can be wrapping this up in about 4 minutes.
When it comes to Native Americans, right? They're wealthy ones, but a lot of them are poorer. Right. I mean, than even some Black Americans. And so I don't think that the restitution the United States has given to Native Americans has been successful. And I don't think you could argue that we should use the same model given to Native Americans, because it's actually been a tremendous failure.
Find full episodes of the podcast featuring Straight Facts on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube. Also, check out our Instagram for more Maroc Oris content, including the shop and our subscription service. For exclusives. Peace, Mer. I'm on rock.